This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. Multitasking with regard to paying attention is a myth. Total myth. Your brain actually naturally focuses on concepts sequentially, one at a time. And so, in other words, what we often call multitasking is really just task switching at really, really high speeds. Now, at first, this kind of sounds weird, sounds a little confusing, but at one level, your brain does actually multitask, right? You can walk and talk on the phone at the same time. And your brain controls your heartbeat while you're reading a book, for instance. If you're playing a musical instrument, like a piano, you can play a piece with left hand and right hand simultaneously. So sure, you could technically call that multitasking, right? But what we're talking about is your brain's ability to pay attention for extended periods of time while you try to listen to a boring lecture at school, watch a tedious presentation at work, or crack open your laptop and try to focus on a singular task without deviating from it for a full 90 minutes. Can you do any of these things with total, absolute moment-to-moment presence, total attention? Of course not. We can't do that because this attentional ability is, to put it quite frankly, quite bluntly, absolutely not capable of multitasking. It's not possible. But you probably already knew that you couldn't pay attention to two really important things at the same time. But what a lot of people don't know is that keeping multiple distractions in your periphery, like your phone on your table while you're trying to work, or your five other browser tabs that you've got open on your browser, right, that have nothing to do with the task at hand, right? These things, keeping multiple distractions in your periphery, are also what a lot of us think are multitasking and are also just as harmful as multitasking. Because really, again, there's no such thing as true multitasking, at least not on things that are really important. You can, of course, again, you can walk your dog and talk on the phone at the same time. But if you're trying to focus on something really important while you're trying to talk on the phone and walk your dog at the same time, you usually stop, right? Say you get some crazy news, or you're trying to walk somebody through a really complicated thing, right? Like giving somebody directions, for instance, specific directions on how to get to your place. Usually you stop walking at that point because your brain is working and it needs its full capacity, its full bandwidth and attention to give that person those complicated directions. You get what I'm saying? So that's what happens to your brain when you try to multitask. And the key is to focus on a singular task at a time if you really want to be productive. And in his book, Brain Rules, author John Medina actually brilliantly breaks down what happens to our brains while we actually try to multitask. And I'm going to break it down for you in the way that he talks about it in his book. And so he says, essentially, that when you look at your executive network in your brain and what's happening to it when you do something as simple, and by the way, your executive network is what's responsible for planning and goal setting and detail-oriented tasks, right? This is the part of your brain that allows you to focus, that allows you to pay attention to stuff that matters to you. And so in his book, he talks about a four-step sort of process that goes down in your brain while you do something as simple as writing a long email, right? You're composing a long email, and then all of a sudden, boom, you get interrupted by a text message from your significant other, your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Here's what happens first. Step one, shift alert. To write an email from a cold start, right? Blood quickly rushes to your anterior prefrontal cortex. And this area of the brain, part of the executive network, works just like a switchboard, alerting the brain that it's about to shift attention. Okay, step two, rule activation for task number one. Now, this alert contains a two-part message sent via electricity crackling throughout your brain. And the first part is a search query to find the neurons capable of executing the writing task of this email. The second part encodes a command that will rouse the neurons once discovered. This process is called rule activation, and it takes several tenths of a second to actually accomplish. And so you begin to write your email, right? Step three, disengagement. While you're typing your email, the text message is picked up by your sensory systems, starting with your ears, right? If the phone dings, or your skin, if the phone's in your pocket and it vibrates. Because the rules for writing a work email are totally different from the rules for texting your wife or husband, your brain needs to disengage from the email writing rules before you can respond to the text message. Right? This occurs. The switchboard is consulted, alerting the brain that another shift in attention is about to go down, right? It's about to happen. And then we move on to the fourth step, rule activation for task number two, which is your text message. Now the brain deploys another two-part message seeking the rule activation protocols for texting. And the same as before, the first is a command to find the texting your husband or wife rules, so to speak. And the second is the activation command. Now you can message your significant other, right? As before, it takes several tenths of a second simply to perform the switch itself. These four steps must occur in sequence every single time you switch from one task to another. And that takes time. And it's sequential. That's why we cannot multitask. That's why people find themselves losing track of previous progress and then needing to start all over, right? Have you ever walked away from the task or somebody interrupted you in the middle of doing something and then you say, okay, you get back to your desk or get back to your work and you say, okay, where was I at now? What was I talking about? I lost my train of thought, right? Each time you switch tasks, that's what happens. You got to go back and say, okay, now where was I? This stuff takes time. And that's why a person who is interrupted takes 50% longer to accomplish a task and makes up to 50% more errors. That's insane, right? So if you're doing stuff like this, if you're task switching quickly, if you are not focusing singularly on something, then here's what you want to do. If you're having trouble paying attention, write this down on a piece of paper and just post it up in front of your thing. Just a simple message to yourself, a reminder. It is impossible to multitask. Do one thing at a time. It is impossible to multitask. Do one thing at a time. Because your brain is a sequential processor. It's unable to pay attention to two things at the same time. And, you know, even though your job, your manager, your boss, or your different articles that you may have read, or your school teachers or whatever, praise multitasking, praise being able to switch between tasks quickly, it's all BS. It's nonsense. Because research clearly shows that it reduces productivity and increases mistakes. So try creating sort of an interruption-free zone for yourself, if possible, during your day, or at least for a 2 to 3 hour block of time where you turn off your email, right? Turn off your phone, block social media sites, and focus on a singular task, on your one big thing for that day. Block off 2 to 3 hours and just do that. And you'll see a dramatic, your productivity won't double. It'll triple, quadruple, quintuple if you do that. Especially if you're used to keeping all this shit on your desk and all these interruptions coming your way and trying to juggle them. The moment you remove all of those elements from your day-to-day, just for 2 to 3 hours, and focus on your most important thing, you will see an insane increase in productivity. And if you're having trouble, you know, getting rid of these things, you can even download different software things like self-control apps, and there's a specific app called selfcontrolapp.com that allows you to block all that other crap, certain websites, social media sites, and stuff like that, and get you to focus. There's even a writing app that I saw somewhere recently where it allows you to type in your goal if you're a writer, and then it says, you know, how many words you want to write, how long do you think it's going to take you, and start. And then it only allows you to access your writing app, and it blocks out everything else on your computer. Right? There's a bunch of different apps like this that you can find online. All you have to do is do a search. But the bottom line is, and the key here is that number one, it's impossible to multitask. When you're trying to multitask, what you're really doing is switching between tasks really quickly at high speeds. And that decreases your productivity exponentially. And the solution is to do one thing at a time. And when we say one thing at a time, we really mean one thing at a time. That means close down the browsers, the extra five browsers you've got open, and just keep one open if your important task is research, for instance, and focus fully on that. It means turning off email, turning off even the vibration thing on your phone. I have my thing on do not disturb. For instance, like a few months ago, I got an Apple Watch, right? And I had the vibration thing on there. So even though I would have my phone on do not disturb, my Apple Watch would still vibrate whenever I got a text message or an email or whatever. And what I noticed is that I kept on looking at it every time. And it was harder for me to not look at my wrist when it would vibrate and when it would bring something to my attention. And what I realized is that I needed to just put that on do not disturb too and shut off the vibration factor, because it gives you more control when you know that you are intentionally checking your email, checking your messages, and getting back to people in that regard. If you can do that, right? Some people, their job is to just respond to messages all day long and make phone calls all day long. But most people, I think, can set aside specific determined periods of time to batch all that communication-related stuff together instead of always looking at your thing like a freaking hamster on a wheel. And so the key is to focus on a singular task at a time, because adding two to the mix or three to the mix or more, like many people try to do, and distractions like social media and your phone and messages while you're trying to work on something important, like a report, for instance, it's not going to allow you to work at full capacity. So if you want to be incredibly focused, you want to take your productivity to the next level, simply block time every day to focus on your most important thing for 2 to 3 hours and shut down all the other distractions. And not only will you be more productive, but if you do that, you'll be living like you give a damn.